We've made it to the end of the year.
Surprisingly.
It's flown by.
It was speedy.
Zoomed on right past us, of course.
Uh-huh.
But that's usually how, that's how years go.
That's how time works.
That's how time works. It is a construct, and sometimes it just flies right by you.
Yep.
But yes, it is the end of the year, and there's only one thing left for us to do, to wrap things up for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that today here on this week's episode of the Seasonal Anime Checkup OVA. It's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc, Allie, and Ladium.
Hello.
This is episode number 418. And it's time for Game of the Year.
The only game of the year that matters.
The only game of the year that matters.
I don't know that that's actually true, but it's funny.
The only game of the year that matters.
Yeah.
This will be the 10th annual Seasonal Anime Checkup Game of the Year Awards.
That, wow. Wowie. Yeah. Wowie.
Wowie zowie.
Yes.
That's so many.
So many.
2024, it was a year of video games.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big year for RPGs, yes. That's the big thing to take away from this year.
Yeah.
A lot of them, yeah. And a lot of good ones.
It's so funny, because like, throughout this year, I was like, man, this is a weak year for games. This is a weak year for games. I was like, no, this year is great for RPGs. Are you kidding? Like, I've been playing stuff like nonstop this year. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And like, good RPGs.
Yeah.
And bad RPGs.
And bad RPGs, that's true. Gotta take the good with the bad.
Also, because I'm not gonna have a moment to mention it for real, Atome is so back.
Atome's back.
Because last year sucked.
Yeah.
Last year was terrible for Atome. We had like one good Atome game. And like, this one had several good ones and then some that were just like, they're all right. They're not bad. They're fun. They're acceptable. So Atome is so back. We're so back.
We love to see it.
Love to see it. I'm hoping that we continue that trend next year and have the good Atome still.
Can only hope.
No kidding. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so welcome to Game of the Year, of course. If this is your first time joining us, we do some supplemental awards first. We'll have another inductee into the Seasonal Anime Checkup Hall of Fame this year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this will be 2021, 2023. The fifth entry, I believe. If that makes sense. I think that tracks.
I'm trying to think how many were our previous ones, because we had Mystic Quest, Final Fantasy X-2.
Mm-hmm. Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6.
And then last year we inducted Love Live! School Idol Festival into the Hall of Fame.
So this will be our fifth, yes.
Our fifth entry, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have all that, and then afterwards we will go down our top tens.
Mm-hmm. See how they match up.
See everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Some surprises, maybe?
Who knows? And of course, you know, we're probably going to talk about spoilers here and there. So if, you know, if a game comes up and you haven't played it or you're wanting to play it or something, mm-hmm. just be cautious, you know, skip ahead if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we might talk about some spoilers openly here and there. So, you know, best to be careful. But yes, it is time to dive into Game of the Year.
Woo!
Where, of course, we will be starting with our supplemental awards.
Mm-hmm.
Our specialty awards we give out each year that, you know, sometimes are goofy, sometimes are, you know, celebrating games, sometimes are just being looking back and being like, what happened? you know, you get everything in between there.
Yeah.
We do have some things that, of course, are matching up here, so where do you want to kick things off?
How about best moment?
Best moment, okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to start or do you want to start?
You can start, sure.
All right, my best moment is from Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Uh-huh.
And it's the scene where you fight the Jimas, the Dojima, Majima, Saijima fight.
That's a pretty good one, yes. That is
it ruled!
pretty solid.
Because you have like the RPG elements where everybody's there, but then you have the moments where like Kiryu breaks out and then has to do like his normal style, but then you have like the scenes for the previous games like reflected behind him. It's like, oh my God, this rules. This is so cool. But then you have like the payoff later on in the game from doing this. But like, I remember just being floored by this. It was so rad to watch. Like, what a cool way to like marry the two styles there.
Yeah, it's a great way to like celebrate history within these games, and also just being, as the series likes to do, be really cool.
Really cool, but it's like, you know, a reflection of like his relationships with each of these guys who have been like so big in his life. Less so with Sajima, but you know, it happens. But you have these like fabulous scenes, which is great because like the whole thing with Kiryu is his reflections during this game. Like he's reflecting on his life, he's reflecting on what he's done, and this is just an extension of that. And it's incredibly done.
Yeah. I think that's a very good moment. No arguments for me on that one. My best moment also comes from Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Oh, snap. Look at us go.
But it is a different moment.
Okay.
I went with the very end of the game.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that one is a big one.
I don't want to dive into like the spoilers of it. If you want to know about it, we can go back and listen to the podcast we talked about this. But just an incredibly cathartic moment,
Yes.
something that had been years in the making.
Yes.
And it was just so nice to see, so touching to see, a very emotional moment. It just something that like just I was very happy to see, and just to have that be the end cap for this very long game and just be
Yeah.
like, oh heck yeah, let's go.
And especially after playing Gaiden, like
Yes.
it was a really good way to cap off that story. Oh man. It was really good. No, I agree with you. That was a fantastic moment, and I definitely had a I'm not crying, you're crying moment.
And what a shocker.
It was very good.
It's very good.
Made that Ichiban tweet that went out today even more powerful to me. It's like, oh my God, I swear to God, I checked Twitter and I saw that and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm gonna cry in my bed at like 10:30 in the morning
While there's cats on me.
while there's cats on me and they're like, what's going on? Like, it's okay, it's just fictional characters. It's all good. So yeah, that was my morning. What? Yeah, that was a good moment. That was a good moment.
All right, where do
You
we want to
get
go next?
to pick this time.
Well, let's go with the one that we might have a similar thing on.
Okay.
Messiest Mess is what I've called this one. You have two similarly sounding ones, but I think one of them is going to be in line with the one that I've chosen here.
It's probably the biggest WTF.
Yes. Messiest Mess of 2024 goes to, of course, Love Live! School Idol Festival 2 Miracle Live. What a just complete.
Show.
That's the way to call it. Just from everything, from just when that tweet went out to just like, oh hey, here's the game coming out. By the way, here's the game ending, all in just a singular tweet. Having a Love Live game like be big video game news was just very weird and
It was
not
so weird that it
expected.
broke out of like the Love Live circle. It was wild.
So all of that was just the start of things, and then once you get the game, it's like, all right, the gameplay's good. This is like the biggest collection of songs in the entire in any of the games.
Yeah.
But man, everything else is not that good.
No, and we didn't even get any of the like fun stories like we had in School Idol Festival 1, like where you would have like the matchups that you wouldn't normally have. Which was one of my favorite parts about School Idol Festival.
No overall story for like the groups or anything. No card stories.
Nope.
No card variety.
Nope. Boring.
No bonus cards for like non-group members. The events were pretty lackluster. Card customization was not a thing anymore.
Nope.
Just it's just a very stripped down version of like one of the best mobile games that had ever existed. And it's just like, what are we
What are
doing
we doing here?
here? Like, did they just send this game out to die, essentially? I mean, that's kind of what happened, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So my biggest WTF is specifically the release date and end of service announcement, which ties in exactly to what you were saying. Like, good Lord, I felt so bad for that social media manager that day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a hot mess.
What a hot mess.
It's so disappointing too, because Squad Festival, like Squad Festival 1 and All Stars were both so good.
And they died for this thing.
This. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, that there's that out of
Woo!
the way. Now we can focus in on some more fun things.
Yay!
Where do you want to go next?
Best surprise?
I do not have best surprise.
Okay, what about Jared and Al co-op?
All right, best Jared and Al co-op of the year.
This is the one where I kind of cheated.
Okay.
Because it shouldn't technically count, but it's my award, so I'm making it count. And this is also a follow-up to one we've done before. It's Power Wash Simulator, the DLC.
I would also like to make an amendum here. This is the first ever back-to-back winner of an award. Best Jared and Al co-op once again, Power Wash Simulator. Yes. It's the only one that made sense. It's like, that was the one we played the most this year. It's like, yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
this
and
is
they were
it.
fun.
We played new content, so like, yeah, that works. And there was a lot of new content this year, so.
Yeah, and it was all free. I mean, like, we got a lot of free DLC that was actually like really well done and a lot of fun to play.
And like, it's always fun to play that game because we just like get to run around, clean stuff, just. It's just an extended way for us to hang out. And then,
Yeah.
sometimes we can also just be gremlins as well. So like that's
Sometimes.
always fun.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes we're, doing the job correctly, of
Okay,
course.
true. But then we usually end up like shooting each other off of
Yes.
edges.
As you
That's so
do.
funny that we both picked the same thing. It was good though. I love Power Wash Simulator. Like, I probably love this game more than I should. Like, if there's any question about like my neurodivergence or anything, like, but yeah, the DLC has been so fun to play with you, and I can't wait for them to release more so that we could keep doing it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yay! What you got? What's next?
Well, I think we only have one more shared
Old game?
best old game.
Okay, go first.
My best old game, American Truck Simulator.
I loved watching you play this.
I mean, hey, the best part about getting like a computer that runs games, I got to play this game, and boy, howdy, is this. It's so weird to describe a game where you just drive, you haul deliveries
Trucks.
around in a semi truck as fun, but like it's just so fun. It's I think the surprising thing for me is that like it does a really good job of like replicating the feeling of like highway driving, of like sometimes you are filled with anxiety on the highway because there's just traffic and you got to get you to your exits and everything. Sometimes it's the middle of the night and you're the only person out there, and there's just like this serene feeling of just kind of being out there alone with your own thoughts as you're just cruising down the highway and just nothing else. There's nothing else for you to do except just think and be by yourself. And then there's something to that. So like it's able to capture like both of those things, and it's just fun to play. It's just fun to just like chill out, listen to crappy radio stations, and just do your deliveries.
You had some good customization too.
There's a lot of good mods for the game.
You basically had like my kitties.
I have a dog in the seat next to me. There's a cat on the dashboard. It's like, what more could you ask for?
Not a lot, honestly.
Yeah, it's just a fun game.
Nice.
It's real fun.
Yay.
What is your best old game?
Mine is Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door.
Nahone.
Because there was a quote unquote remake this year.
Yes.
But it wasn't a real remake. Like they did some quality of life changes here and there and they made it look better, and that's basically it. They did a few tweaks to the translation, which is fine. But it wasn't like a remake. But this game was super, super good when it came out on the GameCube. It's one of the best turn-based RPG Mario games that exists. But it's just so charming. It's so fun. I love the like companion partners in this game. The story is actually really good and remains really good. Like I was kind of worried, like, oh, well, maybe I just really liked it on the GameCube because I was younger. No, it's still really good. Which, by the way, I still have my GameCube version of it. But I had a blast playing this earlier this year, so I wanted to give it a nod.
And hey, it was better than the other Mario
Well,
RPG.
we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that.
All right, where are we going next?
So are we out of things that match or
I believe so.
okay. Well, do we want to do my biggest disappointment one so we can get this out of the way?
Sure.
All right. Biggest disappointment. Mario and Luigi Brothership. Woo!
Yay.
Yay! This game sucked ass. I mean, this is really all there is to it. Like it I played 80 hours of this game.
Way too many hours of this game.
That's way too many hours. Like, that's close to what I've put into like good RPGs this year. But like there's so much stupid backtracking and so many like pointless quests and things where it's like, oh, you did this, but it doesn't actually matter. And I'm like, cool. Like the story tries to be something that's like in depth of like, oh, togetherness is good. We like not being alone. And I'm like, ugh. But it didn't respect my time. It didn't respect me as a person who's playing video games. It just wasn't a fun game to play. I think if it had been cut down to like maybe 15 hours, it might have been fine. Maybe. But like it sucked. It sucked so bad, and I was really mad about it.
Oh, were you ever?
It just never ended until it finally ended. I was like, oh, thank God, I could just like exist. Where are you going?
Great question. Let's go with best anime game.
Okay.
Best anime game goes to, of course, Yohane the Parhelion Numazu in the Mirage.
That one was fun for me to watch you play.
We'll talk about this a little bit later on as well.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, now I guess I got to pick again. Let's go with best remake.
Best remake, okay.
We talked about this one.
Yep.
So now you know that I went cowardly on this.
I figured you would.
So here's my excuse for this. This best remake is Persona 3 Reload. This is a game that easily could have been on the top 10. And quite frankly, deserves to be. And as you saw last year, I put Resident Evil 4's remake on top 10. So like it's not like I have precedent for saying like, oh, I can't do that or anything. I decided to put this here in a supplemental award because like at the end of the day, it's still Persona 3. And I really like Persona 3. So like it's not changing my opinion on the game or anything. And I thought by doing this, by being able to showcase that this was a very good game and a good remake of that game, I could also showcase another game down below as well. So I could have my cake and eat it too, essentially.
We're gonna talk about it more when I have my list,
Sure. I just want to say, like, it does things really well. it looks great. The new voice cast is great. The new story stuff's great. The modernization of the battle system's great. It is the definitive way to play Persona 3 now. So there's that.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yay! We'll talk about it more in a bit.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
Whoa.
You ready for mine?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna go with best surprise.
Okay.
Which I'm going to give to Imio, the Smiling Man.
Good choice, good choice.
The Famicom Detective Club game. Because one, this came out of freaking nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped the one trailer and everyone's like, what is this? What is this gonna be? And then like it finally got announced that it's a new Famicom Detective Club game. And we're just like, huh?
Yeah.
What? And like the first two games, they did the re-releases and they were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to talk about this too much because it's going to be talked about later.
Yes.
But this game is incredible. It is incredible.
Very worthy of a surprise.
Yeah, it was just, it came out of left field. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, this rules. I'm about that life.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. That's my biggest surprise.
There you go. All right, we have one more supplemental award.
Okay. It's my turn to do the picking, right?
Yes.
Which picking, quote unquote, I only have one left. Best fishing.
Best fishing, of course.
In a video game, which I'm going to clarify that. This one is going to go to something that you probably will expect, maybe. Other people may not expect. Infinity Nikki.
Nice.
This game just came out. So it's kind of cool that like I got to sneak it in here. But the fishing in this is actually really well done. Mm-hmm. Like mechanically, it's a lot of fun to do. It reminds me kind of the fishing in Final Fantasy XV, which I've gone on record saying that that's really good fishing mechanics. But it's kind of the same style, and it was really fun. It's an engaging minigame. You get to catch some, like, weird-looking fish. Like, some look like purses. That's rad. Some look like they're quilted. Like, that's cool. And then you turn them into outfits. That's neat.
What more could you ask for?
So, best fishing at video game, Infinity Nikki.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, my final supplemental award.
Okay.
Best character return. Obviously, this is a game coming from a game that is not going to be really mentioned elsewhere, so I figured I might as well sneak it in here.
Makes sense.
From Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Cisne.
Cisne!
When I played through Crisis Core, we did the podcast about it. We talked about how, like, oh, man, they should bring Cisne back for the FF7 remake stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she shows up in this, and I was like, oh, this is great! Mm-hmm. Yeah! So that was really cool. So you got to be more of a character. We got to see more stuff with her, like how she's dealing with things post-Crisis Core and everything. So, like, I thought that was all really great, and I was really excited to see her. Yeah, it was really neat. And this is the only time we'll get to talk about Rebirth, so.
That's actually not true.
Oh, this is the only time I'll get to talk about Rebirth.
All right. I will talk about Rebirth, but in a second. But one of the things that I really enjoyed about Cisne is, like, you do quests with her, and one of them, like, you end up with her talking to Aerith, and she's like, I see what he sees in you now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is the first time that Aerith ever actually meets Cisne.
Yeah.
So, like, Cisne was obviously aware of Aerith because she's a Turk and because of Zack. But I was like, oh, my God, that's actually really interesting. And I was excited about that.
Yeah. Her Gungaga.
Her Gungaga. Yeah, she's taking care of Zack's parents. Good for her, honestly.
So yeah, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all our supplemental awards.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapped up. It's time to move on to the 2024 Seasonal Anime Check Up OVA Hall of Fame induction.
Yay!
gotta put on our fancy clothes now, put on our suits and dresses and all that sort of stuff, get all fancy.
Gam's already in a tuxedo.
He's already ready. He's ready. He's been prepped.
Yep.
So yeah, if you don't know, this is our Hall of Fame essentially is just we pick games that we really like and then we celebrate them in Game of the Year.
Yes.
Essentially, that's it.
Yes.
We mentioned the stuff we put in earlier. The other inductees have been Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, Final Fantasy X-2, Resident Evil 6, and Love Live! School Idol Festival. Four games that, you know, kind of are games that we very much enjoy.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's time to induct a new game into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
This year's inductee, Persona 4, Dancing All Night.
Hell yeah. Yay! Congratulations for all involved.
It's a very good game. It is. It's a very weird game as well because, like, the...
It's dark.
It is dark, yes. But, like, the development of it was just a very bizarre ride as well because, like, they were going to get the people who make the Project D.Va Hatsune Miku games to make this game, and then they backed out and decided, we're not going to make this. So Atlas is like, oh, crap, we got to make a rhythm game by ourselves. Oh, no.
But it's actually a really good rhythm game.
Yeah, like, it works fairly well. Like, it's competent. Like, it's mm-hmm. totally playable and everything. So, like, it's shocking that it works, like, in that right. It's the best Persona 4 side game in terms of yes. story and gameplay yes. and everything.
The remixes go so hard.
The remixes are fun. It's just,
I love the character designs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a really, really good game. Like, people talk about Dancing All Night as like a joke, but like, no. This is a real good game.
I genuinely remember the day it came out in for the Japanese regions, I was like, you know, I was waiting till like 11 a.m., 12 p.m. when like the PlayStation Store would update so I could get the game as soon as I could and just like mm-hmm. playing it for the first time and just being like, oh, this is so good. This is mm-hmm. so much fun. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. This is like, I've been waiting for this forever and now it's here and I get to play it, playing it on my Vita TV and everything, just being like, just having the time of my life. And then, you know, it came out in English and it was still as good and everything. So like, it's...
But then you understood what was happening.
I understood what was happening. Yes, of course.
It's also the only Persona 4 game you're going to get where Yosuke does a death drop. Because he just drops in the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. Which I guess is something worth mentioning. Is that, like, each of the characters has a really unique dancing style that I think is really fun because it shows off their personality.
Yeah.
So it's not like they just copy-pasted how they dance. Like, Yukiko has, like, some ballet stuff added in there. Kanji does, like, some breakdancing type things. Yosuke does a lot more, like, J-pop-y type dancing, which totally fits his character.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I loved it. I loved it. It's so good.
Very good. And like, even, like, I think... when they did the sequels, like, they're not as good as this.
No, they're not. Like, I am the biggest Persona 3 fangirl. Well, probably not true. But I am a big Persona 3 fangirl. And, like, playing through the Persona 3 dancing game, it's just... it's kind of sad comparatively. Because 4 is so good.
Yeah, and also this game has Hatsune Miku in it, so...
Yeah, yeah.
And Adachi dances.
I was saying, Adachi dances. I was literally thinking that right as you said it, and I was like, oh, damn, we just brainwaved.
The brain cell strikes again.
It strikes again. Adachi, go!
But yeah, this game's great. Yeah, that's all you could really say. It's great. It's great. Love this video game.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Congratulations to this year's inductee.
Clap. Yay!
Well, we've gotten all the supplemental awards out of the way. The Hall of Fame is done and dusted. It's time for the mm-hmm. main event.
It is.
The top 10 video games of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
As decided by us.
As decided by us.
we both have 10 entries this year. Al was going to do 7, and she's like, oh, I got to do 10.
Yeah.
Too many games.
Well, I was at 8, and I was like, you know what? I'll just do this. Although I have last minute, as of today, moved some things around. So I told you one of them was going to be a surprise, but it's going to be in a different place now. Yeah. So you gotta handle that information now.
I'm handling it.
So number 9 now is going to be the surprising one, not number 10.
What a move.
Well,
now our number 10s aren't going to match up now. It's very unfortunate.
I thought you said that there was no way they were going to match.
No, I was still believing in hope. I was believing that this was going to be a big surprise for me.
You said I didn't play it.
Yeah, I know. Yes, we have 10 games. We're going to talk about these games and discuss why they're very good. I mean, also, it's of course, the thing to talk about is that all of these games are very good and deserving of your time if you've not played them.
Correct. Very much correct.
Who's going to start things off for us?
I can if you want me to.
If you want, or I can start. It's up to you.
Do you know what we did last year? Did I start? Did you start?
Does it matter? I have no idea. I don't think it really matters at the end of the day.
It doesn't. You go.
All right. Number 10.
Number 10. Your surprising one.
Al definitely played this, of course.
Okay.
College Football 25.
No, I didn't play that.
Definitely didn't play this. I think if you wanted to give it if I wanted to give an award for best surprise, this could have definitely been up there as well. Because, like, you know, this is the first college football game that they've put out in 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced that they were bringing this franchise back, it was like, oh, this is really cool, but is it going to be as good as it used to be? And it's like, the main thing for me that I was thinking is like, oh, this is going to, like, it's going to be cool that they bring this back, but it's just going to be a Madden clone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Madden hasn't been good for quite a while now. So like, that's going to be disappointing. But then, like, you know, ramping up to release, I started watching, you know, prominent sports YouTubers talking about like, oh, you know, hey, we checked out the game early and like, here's the stuff in it. And like, people who are like notoriously down on Madden were like, I think this game might be good. I was like, oh, perk it up and be like, oh, hang on a second. It's time to get interested here. Like, and then it came out and it is a blast to play. Like, it replicates the feeling of college football. And it's nice to play one of these again after, like I said, it's been 11 years. It was the last time one of these games was out was the Xbox 360 era.
Oh my God.
So it's been quite
a while.
It's
been a hot second.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like they did a really good job of like capturing the atmospheres for like all the different like college stadiums in the game and everything, like all the different weird traditions that each team might have and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay is just a whole lot of fun. It feels different than what you would get in like Madden, which is 100% what you want, because like these, even though it's still American football, like college and pro football have very different play styles compared to each other. Like, they're just different kinds of games, essentially, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So the gameplay is really fun and everything. The dynasty mode's really good and just deep, and that's just a thing you could just bury yourself into for the next decade if you wanted to. I mean, obviously, it's going to be an annual franchise now, so they'll keep improving on things mm-hmm. as the years go on, but I am really glad that this first iteration came out and was really good right off the bat, which shows like, hey, they knew what they needed to do. They cared about this franchise in a way that you might not expect EA to care about a franchise, sports franchises.
Yeah,
in
no
particular.
Kidding.
but yeah, it's a blast to play, and I've been having a great time with it, you know, throughout the year and everything. So like, it's really fun, and I'm glad that it came out as well as it did.
Yay!
Yay! All right, you're number
Yay.
10.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Wow, it's here. Zach's here.
Okay, so to get this out of the way, this game was a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
It did not leave live. It did not live up to the hype that remake gave us, which is sucky. It was also just like super bloated and had a lot of mini games that were not fun. And they tried to kill Gungaga for me by making it a miserable experience. But I did like parts of it, and I think that it was enough that it made my list, especially, and I mentioned this in my write-up, the Costa del Sol section. This is the peak of the game. You've got like all the goofy like fun mini games in this section. You've got the swimsuit sections. You've got them like hanging out. Like the actual like area of that was fun.
The Johnnies.
The Johnnies were there. I mean, it was a lot of fun. You got the Segways.
Yep.
I didn't know I needed Cloud on a Segway until I got a Cloud on a Segway, and this is also not the last time a Segway would come up in this
You're the
podcast, by the way.
Segway.
You're the Segway and the beach. So like, yeah, it was fun. Like, it was fun, like basically until Gungaga, and then it's like, oh well, this got messy real quick. And I want to mention that in my write-up, I'm going to quote. My girl Cisne is back and cuter than ever. She single-handedly redeemed the Gungaga segment, unquote. So Cisne was going to get a call out from me as well because she's great.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. So yeah, the ending of this is a hot mess. I didn't like that. They should have, committed either way, and I'm sad that they didn't live up to the remake hype that we had. But Through Costa del Sol is really, really good. Really, really good. So I put it at number 10 because I liked that section of the game.
Me. Gungaga.
Me, Gungaga.
It
This is just a sad Gungaga. Stupid mushroom traversal. God. Yeah. So, yeah. Later parts of it are not good, and I'm gonna be real with you. Some of the messy writing I'm gonna absolutely attribute to like the love triangle of Final Fantasy VII because it's like they feel like they were trying to like balance it too much.
Sure.
And I was like, what is happening here? Like this just feels weird and out of place and messy and
Ugh.
But yeah, I just wanted them to commit to the bonkers and they didn't commit to the bonkers, but they did commit to having Cloud on the Segway, so that's great.
True. All right, tell me your number nine, your surprise.
My surprise. Are you ready?
Yes.
Infinity Nikki.
Yay.
Yay! This game again just came out. I have been just obsessed with playing this game. Like it's so fun. It's just a fun game to play. Like I'm just running around and doing these weird little quests for people and fishing and jumping around and making outfits. Always looking around like who can I groom next? What am I gonna do? Groom
Animals, not people.
animals. Animals. So far like the gacha hasn't felt like egregious.
Yeah.
So that's good because that's what I was worried about with this game is that it felt like I was worried it was going to be like a play to win or pay to win type thing, but it hasn't been so far. Like I've been able to complete the current story without paying anything, so I'm happy with that. And I just think it's super cute how they like combine the idea of like styling and clothes with like the plot. So yeah, it's not like a ground breaking game, but it's a fun game, and I think that that's important. So yeah, number nine, Infinity Nikki.
Congratulations to Nikki
What's yours?
and Nikki and Momo.
Yay, Nikki.
Number nine, Yohane the Parhelion Numazu in the Mirage.
Yay. I enjoy this one.
Yeah, this was a fun deck builder. It really captured the essence of the Yohane the Parhelion series in terms of like the characters and everything. Seeing the dark versions of all the characters was really fun and goofy.
Should have Ruby you.
Just seeing how much the actresses got into those roles of like portraying like dark versions of themselves was just incredibly funny.
It's so good.
So like all that stuff was great. Lilaps is there. He's a dog, or she's a dog. Excuse me.
She's a dog.
You can summon her and everyone else just to have you as or have as backup when you're playing. There's a ton of replayability, unlike the other Yohane game, which is mm-hmm. very great. It is challenging, but also, you know, you can collect enough cards to kind of break things if you want, which is like, that's kind of how these kind of games work and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The story was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time with it. The DLC pricing is not good.
Nope.
But, you know, I mean, you don't necessarily need any of the DLC, so that's fine.
Right. But yeah. I really enjoyed watching you play this. I don't do deck builders. I don't do card games. So, like, it wasn't for me, but watching you play it was a lot of fun.
We believed in the heart of the cards, and
we did
in order to not get a rubeating.
Still so funny to me.
So good.
It's so good. Like, we still use that line.
Yep.
That's good. And the designs for like the dark versions were actually really fun too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And like, you, there's like other outfits you can get for Yohane as well, which are cute. Mm-hmm.
They're very cute.
So yeah. Yeah. Good times to be had.
Yay. Good times to be had.
Yohane.
Yohane.
All right. My number 8. Final Fantasy 14 Dawn Trail.
Ooh.
The newest expansion for Final Fantasy 14 that almost mm-hmm. feels like I forgot it came out this year at times. Because nice. It came out just like in the summer. So there's that as well. Yeah, it was a fun shonen time, essentially. We got to not be the main character, and that was okay. Nothing wrong with that. I think the back half of this kind of has some problems here and there that is a little bit disappointing. But it was still a good time, you know, hanging out with Wook Lamott and just having a good old shonen time and all that sort of stuff. An interesting way for them to take the story after the big story climax from the last expansion and everything. So I had a good time with it.
Sometimes that's all that matters.
Sometimes that is all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
What is your number 8?
Tengoku Struggle Strayside.
It is Otome time.
It's Otome time. I'm trying to remember where this landed on my Otome list, but it was pretty high. Number 5. So, you know, it's legit. This game was awesome. It was so good. Like, the art is super pretty. The dudes are super pretty. You've got like the found family tropes, which I love. You've got the like wacky ass storylines, which I love. The romance is actually really good. The protagonist is really cool. None of the routes are like brother routes or underage routes. Like, they don't suck. So I was like, wow, what do you mean? This is fantastic. But like, you're the daughter of the king of hell and you date a bunch of hot guys from hell. That rules. That super rules. Like, they all have like weird reasons on why they ended up in hell, and it just kind of does this whole justification of like, they're not actually bad people, they were just ended up in hell because of reasons. So, you know, there is that hand waving away, but you're still dating dudes from hell, which is kind of cool. And I Goemon is like one of my top tier dateables in an Otome now. He is incredible. Like, he's got the whole soulmate thing going on. But in every single route, he's like extremely supportive of the protagonist because like he's been in love with her forever. So like, even if you're not picking him, he's still trying to find ways to like help you out, which is really cute. And he's actually communicates with you, which, like, oh my god, that never happens in Otome games where people actually like can communicate and have good skills at communication. What? But yeah, it was a super super cute game. It was a super fun game. I loved all the dudes, which was crazy. You had that one guy who was like, I'm blanking on his name, which sucks, but Jack, his name was Jack. He was just like a weirdo. He was a human, but he was a weirdo. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in for that. Like everything about him was just weird. But not creepy weird, because those exist too in Otome. I loved this game. It was really awesome. And I guess that's why it's number five on my Otome list.
Otome's back.
Otome's so back. I only put one Otome game on here.
But it's still back.
It's still back. I had thoughts of putting another one on here, but I stuck with this one for now.
Tell me your number seven.
Okay, this one may be a little surprising on how low it is, but I have reasons. Persona 3 Reload.
Nahone.
So duh that this is on my list.
Shocker.
What? Persona 3 is like one of my favorite games of all time. As you said, it's the definitive way to play Persona 3 now. Like it's great. You know, it's got all that new stuff. All the new stuff is fantastic. And all the new music is also really good, which I think
Yes.
is worth mentioning. Like,
Yeah,
my
yeah, yeah,
God.
yeah.
Wow, it's so good. So the reason why I have, well, I'm also going to say, like, the answer is also not extremely miserable this time. It's still miserable, but it's not as miserable, which is good.
It's playable.
It's playable, which is more than can be said for Fez.
You're not wrong.
The reason that I have it at number seven is because, like, there are some new games that I felt like I wanted to highlight more than this. But I still felt like I wanted to have this on here because Persona 3 is still so good. And, like, the new stuff that they added in this made it so I felt like it was justified to put it on my list at least somewhere.
Yeah. I get it.
You get it. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Like, you really like this game too. What's yours? What's your number seven?
My number seven game of the year, The Legend of Zelda: Echoes of Wisdom.
Ooh, we're gonna talk about that one in a little bit for me.
Well, I guess we'll move on to my number six.
Actually, can I do my number six because it's Echoes of Wisdom?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. That totally works.
So we can both talk about it at the same time because it's your number seven, it's my number six.
Well, there you go.
Do you have things that you want to say that I could add on to, or do you want me to start?
I just thought it was a really good time. Like, I enjoyed getting to play as Zelda for the first time, like, in a mainline game. A good use of the Link's Awakening engine. It was nice to play a like 2D-esque Zelda game for the first time, like a new one for the first time in a long time. I thought the ecosystem was really fun and innovative, and like took a lot of the imagination you could have in, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom and put it into this and put it in a different way, which I thought was smart. And yeah, I had a good time with this video game. It was fun.
I did too. I also enjoyed that, like, while it looks similar, like, Zelda plays in a very different way
Yes.
than, like, Link. Like, you can still use Link's skills at points, but, like, Zelda has a unique way of saving everybody, which is great. I love that. I was also, like, super excited to use, like, dumb echoes to solve things. That was pretty good. I also wanted to mention, like, the small mechanics of, like, costume changes. Like, that was cute.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that I could talk to cats. And I really like the characters, like the side characters in this. Like I'm still thinking about the River Zora and Sea Zora interactions. Like that was so fun. But also I want to mention, as anyone who knows me is aware, I'm a huge Link to the Past fan. And with it having like so many references and nods to Link to the Past, I was just like, oh my God, this feels wonderful. Like they're literally like copy-pasted sections of the map of Link to the Past. And like they have mentioned that they just wanted to expand upon it, that they're like, yeah, you know, what if there was stuff outside of the world that you got to explore in Link to the Past? And here it is. I was like, that's super cool. That's really, really awesome. So you got the direct nods, and then you got some indirect nods, but it was it's like, oh, my favorite game's getting some love.
Like
Thank you.
I wouldn't say I am as big of a fan of Link to the Past as you are, like that, obviously not. But I've grown to have a really good appreciation for that game, you know, over the years. And like even I was able, like, you know, seeing like, oh, like, oh, there's Link's house. Like, this is the path you go to the castle. This is the path you go to the first dungeon. This is the path you go to Kakariko and everything. You go down, there's the swampy area or whatever, like, and
Here
then
are
to
the
the
ruins from the desert,
yeah, like, and it,
dungeon.
there's the desert. It's like, oh, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then it's like you said, it's just there's it's that, but then there's also like there's more. So it's like it's really cool and neat that they're able to do that.
Okay, now give me your number six.
All right, now number six for realsies,
For realsies.
Balatro.
Oh, two card games.
Believing in the heart of the cards over here. Yeah, this I unsurprisingly, this video game is good. It just takes something simple like poker hands and then like puts a spin on it and basically makes it so addictive. They're just like, gotta get another run in, gotta get another run in, gotta get another run in. Because like, you know, you'll play and then like, oh, something will mess up and you're like, oh, you know, if I had d just done this, I would have won. I could have gotten the run, but I just didn't. So now I gotta replay and like hope I get a new set of jokers that are like a good setup, and then I got it this time. Yeah, it's just it's easy to pick up and play. Like you don't even really need like a real knowledge of like poker. Just be like, do you know how to put pairs together? Do you know how to get a three of a kind or a four of a kind or a full house? All right, you
No.
can play the video game.
I don't.
Don't lie.
I don't know how to do some of that. I know how to do a pair. That's easy.
I don't know. You don't know how to get a three of a kind.
I don't know how, what's a full house?
It's a three of a kind and a pair.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Do you know how to get a straight?
No.
That's just like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, okay, so it's just numbers.
Five cards in sequential no in sequential order.
Okay. No,
But
I
it's
don't know
like I
any of
mean
that.
essentially like. Even if you really didn't know that stuff, it would be pretty easy to learn because it kind of just tells you like, hey, this is how it goes. Like if you get cards that will like enhance those abilities, it'll like show you kind of like little thingies on them and be like, you know, this is what it does. This is the kind of thing you're looking for essentially. Yeah, it's just it's easy to play. It's very good to just like pick up and play. Like I got it on my phone and it's just like I could just play it right now and I could be doing a run
Nice.
whenever.
Whatever.
And I'm sure I'd assume as well, like it's very much the same on everything else it's on because it's on everything else. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and just a good time to be had with all those weird jokers. What a
Speaking of
bunch of
what a
jokers.
bunch of jokers. Speaking of weird jokers, I have appreciated this game because of the unhingedness that's come from Ben Starr.
That man is just unhinged on a daily basis, I think.
He is. I love it. But he's so funny when it comes to this. He, like I was scared because I was like, "Oh, clown. I don't know about this." And then he's just like doing weird shit with bananas. And I'm like, "Okay, sure.
Good old
Sure."
Jimbo.
I love Ben Starr.
So yeah, there's
I hope he never does anything problematic.
I can only hope. He's gonna come out and actually say he hates Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh no.
Well, since we had our little double up there, I'm going to go ahead with my number five.
Before we start the top five, we've had this conversation that some of these may be the same games.
Yes.
We don't know for sure, but we may have some lineups here. They may just be shuffled order, so we'll see how this goes.
True.
But I assume we're going to have very similar top fives.
Yes. The top five. Here we go. My number five game of 2024.
Okay.
The Legend of Heroes Trails Through Daybreak.
That's my number five.
Let's go!
Let's go.
Man, I had a difficult decision with this one of where to put it.
Yeah, I did too. I struggled with it.
This and the next game, it was back and forth between these two, but we talked about this game very recently, but like I think some of the things that like kind of hold this game back are like, you know, the fact that it's like it's the beginning of a new series and everything, so like it's not as going to be as impactful as, you know, like, you know, a second game in the series or a fourth game in the series, like usually how these games tend to be, essentially.
Right.
And some of the parts of the ending kind of felt a little bit flat, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit unfortunate. So I think that's kind of why it settles down here instead of kind of being up higher than what you might tend to expect.
Yes.
The gameplay is great. I love the new engine in terms of like the battles and everything. I think all that stuff flows really well. I really like the new characters and everything. The story has potential for what it's setting up in the future, so like all that stuff could be rather intriguing. I mean, we'll find out how this plays out in literally like 2 months. So
yeah, it's that's my Valentine's Day date.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some really good changes that they made. Like they make it easier to find things that are missable.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love because, like, the Trails games have been notorious for, like, having stupid things that are missable. Like, you have to go in between these two major story events that you wouldn't think to go to, like, the general store to pick up a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, sure. But they didn't do that this time. So, like, there were a lot of, like, good missable scenes. I was like, okay, I feel better because I've seen this because it's, like, planting seeds in my head of what's going to happen. It also was really a lot better for like LGBTQ representation, which thank God. But like nobody really felt like they were like a joke.
Yeah.
Or undermined. Nobody felt like they were like a predator or anything. And you also had people on both sides of the like spectrum with like, this guy's a really bad guy and he obviously is LGBTQ. But then you have dudes who are like working with you who are also that. So it's like, okay, cool. Like, it's not like we're demonizing a gay man because we also have this gay man here who's good. So that was so much better than it's been. I was really happy about that. I also liked the addition of like taking your friends to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
That was cute. It was really fun. And then, you know, sometimes you get like goblin lines from Aaron if you take him to the movies, because you get goblin lines from Aaron throughout the entire game once you have him. He's my fave.
He's a goblin.
He's a goblin. I also really liked Van. I think he was a really good protagonist.
Yeah.
And he's a different kind of protagonist. He reminds me more of Kevin than he does any of the other protagonists we've had so far. I say as if
Who?
Kevin wasn't a, I say as if Kevin wasn't a protagonist, but like
Who?
I think Van and Kevin would get along really well. Because they have very similar like mindsets. Yeah, who? I can't believe they had to patch him in. That's so embarrassing.
So good.
It's so embarrassing. But yeah, this was a nice introduction to the Calvert arc. But yes, that's the word I'm trying to say. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's nothing better than hanging out with the boys in a hot bath.
Exactly. Exactly.
The most out-of-pocket line of 2024. Bar none.
Out of pocket lies in here, especially from like the director.
Yeah.
But yeah, that line, I was like, what? Aaron? It was great. I nearly died when he said that.
So good.
Yay, we had one that lined up so far.
We did it.
Yay.
All right, number four.
Number four.
Tell me your number four.
Emio, the Smiley Man, Famicom Detective Club.
Well, let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
that is also my number four.
Let's go!
You talked about this when, you know, it was in your Best Surprise Award that, like, you know, it was a surprise this game exists essentially, because like I don't think anyone was expecting it after, you know, they put out those re-releases that like, oh, they're gonna make another one of these,
right?
And then they made another one of these, and A, it's a great modernization of, you know, the Japanese adventure game style.
Yes.
To where it's not as like just beat your head against the wall to figure out what's going on, essentially.
Yeah, it's not as convoluted.
That's very nice. It lets, you know, people who are not, you know, you may not have played the other games or like aren't used to the style of game can kind of just get into it and not get stuck as easily, which is a smart, smart decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it is the very rare,
mm-hmm,
mature-rated Nintendo-published video game.
And it earned it.
And it earned it.
It earned it. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, does this story get dark.
It gets super dark. Like, that entire epilogue is just like, Jesus Christ. My God.
Uh-huh.
Like, it starts out, like, if you got the amp that goes to 11, like, that epilogue goes to 20.
Yep.
And it start to finish at 20. Like it's not like you get some like brevity. Like in the actual main game, you have some like humor thrown around there to like make it a little bit easier to get through. But like that one just like, no, it's very dark from start to finish, and you're just like, oh my God. But also like that's part of the reason why it's been stuck in my head all year, is that I was just like, they did such a good job doing like the storytelling in this game and the character writing in this game. Like, it's so good and it's really impactful.
Like, we knew what this team could be
capable of.
I mean, to be fair, like, it is kind of a different team, obviously, because, like, you know, mm-hmm, those other games were 30, 40 years before.
Right.
30 years, really. Yeah. But, like, you know, they got the main guy back to help with this one, so like you already know kind of like, oh, okay, something's gonna go down here. And then, man, they make things go down here in ways that, yeah, you're just like, every time it does something shocking, you're just like, okay, I wasn't expecting this, I wasn't expecting it to go this far. Uh-oh.
But yeah, this is like one of the only Nintendo games where I've had to like look away from the screen because it just got a little bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wild to say.
It is, it's graphic in the ways that you would expect. But yeah, just like everything about it, like just the story and like the tragic tales of these characters is just, mm-hmm, very impactful, like you said, and it sticks with you.
Yeah, it really sticks with you. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, we matched up again.
We did it. Yeah, I hope
continue.
I hope they make more of these. Because like
I do too.
This one was very good.
It was very, very good. I really like these games. I hope that they make more of them. And I love like the fact that they're trying to bring the genre back. Like that's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
All right, number 3.
Is it my turn or your turn?
It's my turn.
Your turn.
Number 3 game of the year.
Okay.
Metaphor ReFantazio.
Okay, we'll talk about that one later.
Oh, no!
Oh, no, we stopped matching!
No!
We stopped matching!
Can't believe this.
Do you want to talk about it now? Or?
No, I'll wait.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think we're going to be waiting long, so...
Right. I mean, there's only 3 things to get through.
Right.
Okay, do you want my number 3?
Yes, I would like your number 3.
Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth.
We'll be talking about this one later.
All right.
All right, well, number 2.
Astrobot.
Well, look at here. This is also my number 2.
Woo! Okay, well, we know where things land now.
Yeah.
We did so many matchups here. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5-4-2, that's incredible. And the games are still the same. It's just in
Astrobot's incredible. Like it's
so good.
Gorgeous looking video game. Mm-hmm. It is.
It's just like it's a love letter to video games.
Yeah, it is probably one of the best 3D platformers that has come out in a long time.
A long time. Yes.
Yeah. It's basically an extension of the free game that came with your PS5, and it's like, all right, what if we made more of that? It's like, okay, sure, I'm in. And then it's just like,
yeah,
way more
absolutely
of it, and it's still fantastic.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's got stuff like little nods to like Mario World, but it's got like the Secret World exits. That's fun. That's really cool. You've got the collectibles, you've got the bots, which like that was a super fun part of it to see like who's gonna show up next. Okay, wow, that's really strange, but I love it. Like it was so cute. So cute. I really
It's
love
just a
design.
really fun and charming game all the way throughout. Like, I mean, you can obviously make the argument that, like, you know, this is just Sony making something to celebrate Sony, which is like, that's fair. I completely understand that argument. But also, like, it was just a super fun time all the way throughout. Like, I never felt like I was having a bad time or anything. Like, it's
No, it
just
was
like
super fun.
a good time to be had. And, you know, sometimes you need that kind of game where it's just like it's gonna put a smile on your face all the way throughout, so you can get through the bad of the real world, essentially.
Right? Like it was just a very joyful game. And as I was mentioning, like it to me feels like a love letter to games, like generally. Like it doesn't feel entirely like it's an ad for Sony or whatever. Like there are games that are Sony exclusive, but there are also games that aren't. Which is cool. And seeing like who all shows up and like there are some wild ones in there. But it was just really cute. And like obviously and we can attest to this because they mentioned it during their Game of the Year acceptance. Like there was a lot of inspiration for things like Mario in this, which they couldn't say that explicitly, but they
Pretty
hinted.
much did.
They pretty much did. Like they really, really did a great job here and made just a very fun game to play.
Yeah, it's like I knew kind of going in like, oh, this is probably going to be really good, but
I didn't expect it to be as good as it is.
it
Like,
still exceeded expectations, which I think is surprising.
And still does like fun stuff with like the PS5 controller. Like, I really like the sections where like you're like rebuilding the PS5 ship and you're having to like do things with your controller to make it happen. Like, that's cute.
I mean,
That's fun.
it is basically the one game that's using the PS5 controller to its full, you know, intentions, essentially.
Yeah, that's entirely true.
But it's still
Also,
great because, like, there's some really fun things you can do with the controller.
there's some really fun stuff, and I can't believe I almost cried at the end. I almost cried. I mean, it's me, I'm a baby, but I legitimately almost cried. But it was a blast to play, and I'm excited to play the new DLC that just dropped for free. It'll be a lot of fun. Love this game.
Really good. Really, 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 really good.
Really, really, really good.
All right, well, I guess we should talk about our games of the year then.
Well, we know what they are.
We do know what they are.
So who goes first?
I'll go first.
Okay, I'll throw in some stuff from my number three.
My 2024 video game of the year, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
My number three.
I spent what like 100 plus hours in this game. I did everything you could possibly do in this game. And the whole time I was just having the bl a blast the entire time. Like
So fun.
that whole 100 hours did not feel like 100 hours to me. It felt like, you know, I could have gone another 100 hours and still been completely satisfied with my experience and everything.
It's the opposite of Mario and Luigi Brothership.
Exactly. There's just so much to do in that game, and like it doesn't feel like it's filler or bloated in a way that like other games can tend to make that have happen, essentially. Like everything feels different than the previous thing you're doing. Like all like the sub stuff is just like there's a lot of variety that is there that helps to make it not as monotonous as it totally could be. I think the story is a lot of fun. I love to see more of Ichiban. I love to see what they do with Kiryu in this game. I think the new characters are a lot of fun. Getting to see Anju in a prominent role was very good, and I was very happy for her.
It was great. And she sings.
And she sings. Love to see it.
Love to see it. Kason is in here.
Kason's in there.
Getting to do what she loves to do, which is thirst over Kiryu.
Yep, you cast the perfect person for that.
Yep.
I had so much fun with this game. And, you know, like, obviously, as a big fan of this series, like, that's not a huge surprise or anything. But, like, right. Even still, like, I thought just everything in this game fit well together. I think the gameplay was also elevated a little bit more than what they had done in 7.
Yes, it was very much improved.
Which helped a lot. Just a fun time to be had throughout this entire 100-plus-hour experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the main story, doing Dondoko Island, doing the Tsujimon stuff. Like everything else in between that you could do. The stuff with Kiryu is also very good, where you get to go hang out and reminisce about stuff, and then like all that whole storyline goes in some really interesting ways, and some wild characters show up that you would not have expected to show up, essentially.
Right.
Which was a very good time, and like getting to wrap up that story arc in this game was not at all what I was really expecting, but it was so satisfying at the same time that like it really, I think, helped elevate this game to a higher level than it already had.
Yeah. Also, there was some really good interactions between some of the characters, like Kiryu and Saiko having like a heart to heart over like her relationship with Ichiban.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that. That's incredible. That's so fun. Getting to hear more about like Jui Han just being a weird goblin man. Like, love that. That was fantastic. And like the villains were mostly interesting. I thought that was good. I love, you know, the power of friendship. I'm a sucker for that. I thought it was cool when like Kiryu realized he's like, oh, I understand what Ichiban's about when it comes to this thing and working with people, and now I can do turn-based.
Yay!
Yay! And obviously, like, I named my cat after Ichiban.
Uh-huh.
Because how much I love Ichiban.
Mm-hmm.
The cat and the character. Because, like, he's such a powerful character. Like, he refuses to give up on people. And I know a lot of people were really, really critical of the ending cutscene. But I think that ending cutscene is, like, not the one with Kiryu, the one with Ichiban.
Yeah.
I think that's a really beautiful moment because it's exactly who he is, and he gets his like redemption moment of like, I didn't get to do this before, I'm gonna make it happen this time. Like, you did wrong, that doesn't mean your life should be over. I will be here when you get out. It will be fine. We're friends. We had a sandwich together.
That's all you need to become friends.
That's all you need. Like, it was so good. And, like, it felt right to me because, again, like, that moment in 7 where he didn't get to do this, I was just like, okay, he got to do it in 8.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. I'm getting all here. No cry. But yeah, Ichiban just living his best life. He gets to play Animal Crossing. He gets to play Pokemon, but in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to ride a Segway.
Gets to ride a Segway?
Yes, they get Segways.
And you can customize it?
Yeah. It's really good.
It's really good.
The only negative is there's a shark.
Well, I mean, I got to beat up the shark for you.
You got to beat up the shark twice because you get to beat it up for me.
It's true, so.
But yeah, I couldn't do that section, so that sucked. But yeah, thanks for helping me, buddy. You're the best. So number one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Dragon, Imanowolf. Very, very, very good game.
Very good game.
Very, very, very good game.
All right, well, tell me about your number one game, which is obviously a big surprise. A game we have yet to talk about.
We have not talked about it at all yet, but it was your number 3.
Mm-hmm.
It is my number 1, so we just did a flippy-flop here.
Did a little flip-flop there.
Metaphor Refantasio. Metaphor Refantasio is a really good video game.
Shocking.
Shocking. I fully admit I was hesitant about this game.
Absolutely.
Because I knew who was in charge of it, and I was like, I've seen what you've done. And like, obviously the two of us are huge Persona fans, like massive, massive Persona fans, but we recognize there are problems. Also, Persona 5 sucks, so there's that. But Metaphor, it was something that I felt like I needed at the time when it came out and I played it. Because like it's got a very, very intense like political story. It's got, commentary about racism and commentary about acceptance of people. It's got commentary on like political corruption, religious corruption. Again, power of friendships here. It's great. It came out at a time where I really, really needed it because I was feeling disheartened, and I'm still feeling disheartened because I beat this like 2 days before the US election. But it was also just like a very, very fun game. Like I feel like this was a really great version of the fighting system they've pretty much perfected from like Persona games. The soundtrack is wild. I didn't expect to have a monk chanting at me while I was fighting things, but I did, and it was cool. I love every single one of the characters, like the playable characters. They're so good. Their stories are really fleshed out. They feel like they're like real characters. Even, in a lot of scenarios with some Persona games, like you have characters that like they show up and you're like, I don't really know a lot about you, but you're here. Cool, whatever. Looking at you, Persona 5. But your final character you get here, like he's still really well developed because he's been around for a while. And then he joins up and he has this moment of like, oh God, this just happened to me. What am I gonna do? And like his side stories are great. Which the side story improvement's fantastic. You don't have to like worry about am I picking the right choice? You're gonna level up regardless. Like awesome. The stat building, awesome. Such an improvement. I also love that they made the main character like feel like a character. You still had choices you could make, but like they were voiced. So I was like, okay, I'm feeling who you are, which is good. And like the villain in this, holy moly. That guy, Luis. He's intense.
To say the least.
But like he's such a good villain. He's such a good villain. But he also doesn't come off as like a comically evil villain. Like it's easy to lean into that, but they didn't. They pulled it off in a really great way. I've been talking a lot. You can say things about Metaphor if you want.
Game's good.
Game's good. Is that all you got?
I mean, I want to save some stuff for next week because that's when we're going to be doing our big discussion about the game. But I agree with like everything you've been saying. Like it's like I said, genuinely surprising. I was not expecting it to have the messages it did for
Right.
sure, especially with the team
The
behind
team
it and
behind it.
everything.
I took all the pervy stuff out too. Like, there's no pervy stuff.
Taking all the problematic stuff out was great. I was
Yep.
very shocked by that.
Same.
And yeah, it's just a very engaging story for this time period, essentially, as well. Which again is something I was not would not have expected from this team.
Yeah, no.
So, I had a I obviously took a little bit longer to beat it than you did, but like I had a very good time with it, like enjoyed it. And like I said, just very surprised by how it all came out and just it actually being not a mess and also good. The whole thing I think is just like to sum it all up is just it was very surprising, but still
It
very,
was
very
very
good.
surprising, but surprising in a great way.
Yes, 100%.
Also, I may or may not be in love with Stroll. Because he's incredible. He's super good. Yeah, I once again want to mention like the characters are all incredible. They're all so well written, and like they actually interact with the problems that you're dealing with. Like it's not like they feel detached from the overall plot of the game. Which is great. I think that's good. Like it's all woven in a really fantastic way. So yeah, I loved this game. I thought it was great. I am very happy on how it went down. 'Cause it could have not been this. Yeah, that's my number one. Out of four.
Yippee!
Woo! We had a very similar top five. Holy
We
shite.
sure did. I had a feeling that these five games would be
I also
our
had a
five
feeling.
featured games, and we hit on 60% of them out of the same place, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us go.
Look at us go. But there you go. That's the best games of 2024, according to us. You're experts about video games. That's us.
That's us.
And now you know the best games to play from this year. And now we got all that out of the way, we can look forward and look ahead to 2025.
Yeah. There's some good stuff coming out. We talked about it last week, the week before. The week
The
before.
week before, 2 weeks
I
ago.
have the hiccups.
Eat some peanut butter.
I will after we stop recording, but by
I
the way, people, if you don't know, you can eat a spoonful of peanut butter and cure hiccups, unless you're allergic to peanut butter, in which case do not do that.
mean, you'll cure the hiccups, but you also might die.
You might die, so don't do that. But yeah, there's some really good stuff coming up. We have some continuations of games we talked about today. And yeah, this was a really good year for RPGs.
Really solid.
Really solid. Look at us. Look at us. We had good lists.
Good list, of course.
I'm proud of us.
I'm also proud of us.
Yay.
But that's gonna do it for us this week, and also for 2024.
Oh my God, that's so wild.
Say goodbye to 2024.
Oh, sevens in chat.
But if you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonanimecheckup.com or sec.coolest, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Jared Now Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. We'll have write-ups for these lists and everything up on both of our respective sites, of course. So you can read some words if you want to do that, and you can also listen to some voices if you want to do that. It's so whatever you want to do.
Different ways of engaging with the same
Different
stuff.
ways of to do it, of course. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. I was like, what is it? You can follow us on Blue Sky at seasonanimecheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shiny Moment, critical analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man at amazon.com. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/SACOVA. Buy us a slice of pizza, get access to unedited versions of the podcast early, our monthly exclusive Patreon podcast, which will have a new episode of that up soon, maybe, or is already up by now. Who
Who
knows?
knows?
We'll have it up by the end of the year, hopefully.
We will, absolutely.
So look forward to that. And we also got a bunch of other bonus stuff up there on the Patreon as well, if you want to check that out. But yeah, next week we will dive into 2025, of course. Head first by talking about Al's game of the year,
Wow.
Metaphor ReFantazio.
I'm excited about that. Woo!
Woo.
Woo, we'll talk about it more in depth.
Yes, so look forward to that next week.